did anybody watch that football game yesterday? UCLA, they played somebody. Let me think. Who did they play yesterday? They played USC, and who won the game? UCLA, God never fails. I'm telling you, right there it is. Hey, would you please thank the worship team for me? Come on, they did a great job. We got a lot to get through. Inside your bulletin, there's a red insert. It's all red. I want you to grab that for just a moment. And it's. I know Thanksgiving is Thursday, and then Christmas season. How many of you already got your Christmas tree lights up? Anybody? Oh yeah, the best part of the year. But on one side is a list of all the Christmas Eve services, and so we have all these different campuses. Some of the times are different than normal. So make sure you get lined up with your calendar on which Christmas Eve service you can attend, and they're all gonna be the same. So here we've got Saturday, Sunday morning, and also Sunday night. And then again, we got that crazy 11 o'clock p.m. service that you crazy people go to. But those services are all identical, so make sure you've got that. On the other side, now turn that over, is the list of all the activities that we have here at the church this month. And I really want to encourage you to go to as many of them as you possibly can. Starting tonight is where we light up the Christmas tree that's out front. We did it a little early this year just because it's so beautiful, and it just makes the whole campus light up, and people drive up and down Rinaldi frustrated with all the shopping, and we want to bring a little bit of joy to people. Amen. So if you've never been here, we have some refreshments, some Christmas carols, and then I read the Christmas story, then we count down 10, 9, 8, 7, we light up the tree. It's a beautiful night. Also, there's a children's musical on that list. We have a night here at the church. There's a Christmas show, Christmas music you want to attend. We have this event called Light Up the Night. It's the largest event really in America for foster care children. And we host it right here at the church. And you know, there's a large number of foster children in Los Angeles. And we do an event just for them, give them lots of gifts and toys, and want them to know there's a church that cares about them. I don't want to go over all the things on that list, but make sure you read that insert. Amen. And then also there's a Thanksgiving offering envelope in there. And just so you know, we've not taken up an offering in here really since before COVID, back in 2020. This is 2023, just in case you don't know. And honestly, I don't even know how the church exists, because it's just by the blessing of God and people who give online is how this church runs. But at Thanksgiving, we take up an extra offering, and this offering goes to people all around the world that are in need. One ministry that we support is called Convoy of Hope. They feed 1 million children every single day in 37 countries around the world. And then, so some of this money will go there. We'll give some to the local ministries here, Hope of the Valley, that feed people here in this part of the country. Also, we just sent a check last week to Maui. There's a church there they've got boots on the ground. They're helping rebuild. And there's a lot of stuff with PTSD that's going on with the people who went through that fire. And so this church is really trying to find a way to minister to people, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually as well. So we just sent a check to them from our church, just out of the blue. We just said, we're going to help you. So things like that, that's where this offering will go. And if you feel blessed, you can just drop that off out at the kiosk outside right after church. Amen. Now, take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Everybody say 11. How many of you have enjoyed our study through the book of Hebrews? You've enjoyed this. It's been good. If you're a guest, we're preaching 10 sermons through the book of Hebrews. And today we come to week number 7. Now, it's safe to say that of the 13 chapters in the book of Hebrews, again, last week we did chapter 10, today chapter 11, chapter 11 is probably the most well-known out of all 13. And it's called the faith chapter. In the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, there's a chapter there called the love chapter because it's all about love. But this chapter, chapter 11, Hebrews 11, is all about faith. And this fits underneath our umbrella, the theme for our year, which is audacious faith. And I want you to know that we're going to call this message Faith Heroes, because throughout this entire chapter 11, you have a list of all the heroes of the faith. You got Abraham's listed there, Moses, Noah, Jacob is listed, Samson is in this chapter, David, Samuel, Isaac, Rahab, Jephthah, and even Gideon is mentioned in this chapter. And with each of these heroes that are listed, there's a snippet of a great story of faith. They call this God's Hall of Fame, God's Hall of Faith. Now, if you've been with us these last 6-7 weeks leading up to chapter 11, and you understand the context of what this book is about, it gives brand new meaning to chapter 11 in ways that maybe you never thought of before. The context, as you know, this book was written to Jewish people who had grown up under the Old Testament law, the Old Testament covenant of rules and regulations and sacrifices. And back in that day, there were some Jewish people that they kind of crossed over and said, hey, we believe that Jesus is the Messiah. We call these people Jewish believers, and they believe that Jesus is a fulfillment of all the Old Testament scriptures. But these Jewish people, some of them were thinking about, did we make the right decision? Because they were facing pressure, maybe from their family members. There was persecution going on, and they were just thinking, maybe we didn't make the right decision. Maybe we need to go back to practicing the Old Testament laws, the Old Testament rules and regulations. And so this letter was written to that group of Jewish people to tell them, no, you made the right decision. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Continue running this race. This letter was written to tell them that the law that you left doesn't work. That law doesn't save. In fact, everything in the Old Testament points to the person who can save, which is the person you've put your faith in, which is the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he did on the cross when he died for you. So continue the course. So that's the context. The context is that the law doesn't work, that grace is what works. It's not the Old Testament rules and sacrifices that removes your sins. It's putting your faith in Jesus is how your sins are removed. So with all of that in mind, if you're tracking, you've got to be tracking with us, the real purpose of chapter 11, when you look at all these heroes of that Jewish audience, I mean, they loved Abraham, they loved Moses, they loved David, they loved the story of Gideon, the story of Noah. But the author of this book is telling them that all of these people are great, not because they kept the law. In fact, the Bible records how just about every one of them, it tells us of their sins and their faults and their shortcomings and their transgressions. What he's saying to them, it's okay that you consider all these people to be your heroes, but just know what made them great. And what made them great is not the law. What made them great was their faith. And all of them had gone through these seasons where storms came and their situation was bleak and their trials came up against them and the world tried to defeat them. Some of their friends forsook them. They had many lonely nights, and yet they kept trusting in God. It was their faith in the midst of difficult situations is why they're your heroes. Not because of the law, but because of their faith. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So two major things. One, we want to look at what is faith. We want to define faith. And then we're going to look at some examples of faith. Faith is a common denominator. Everyone here in this room has some level of faith. In fact, you use faith every single day of your life. Whether you're a Christian or not, you use faith. For example, when you came to church today and you started the car, it never went through your mind that this engine could just blow up and destroy you and the car. It never went through your mind. But it could, because it's got gasoline in there, and there's oil, and there's ignition. That thing could have exploded. You don't even know who made that engine. You just got in your car. It never went through your mind. You just had complete faith and trust that the brake pedal would actually stop the car. And you had complete faith that the steering wheel would actually steer the car. Some of you drank water and coffee today, and you don't even know if it was poisoned or not. You didn't have anybody test it for you. You just drank it with no thought that it could be dangerous for you. I still can't believe how much medicine and pills that we buy over here at the pharmacy. In the first place, you can't even read the doctor's handwriting. You don't even know what he wrote down. And then you trust that the pharmacist can read it. And then the pharmacist puts this stuff in these little bottles, and you have no idea what's inside every one of those pills. And yet you just go, you eat it. You eat them like Skittles. That's faith. We all exercise faith. You came in here today and you sat in a chair. You never even tested the chair. You just trusted it was going to hold you up. It's called faith. The question is, where do we place our faith in the spiritual realm? Because Muslims have faith. They put their faith in the Quran and in Muhammad. Entertainment industry, they put their faith in Hollywood. A humanist, they put their faith in themselves. Religious people put their faith in doing good deeds. Even atheists have some level of faith. They have a faith that they believe that there is no God. That's faith. That it's just kind of the opposite of what we believe in. Amen. But for Christians, in a spiritual realm, where do we put our faith? We put our faith in Jesus, because that's what we're supposed to do according to what the Word of God says. Now, let's look at faith, what the Bible says in verse 1. Now, faith, everybody say faith. Faith is being sure. Everybody say sure. Sure. Of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So in that first verse, there's really two things there. The first is being sure of what we hope for. Now, some translations don't use the word sure, they use the word substance. And that's kind of a strange word, substance. What is that? Well, that's where you've kind of, you've looked at everything and you've measured everything and you've weighed everything and you've contemplated everything, and you kind of come up with a plan, and there's this moment where everything is settled, and you're settled upon that which we hope for. And in the New Testament, the word for hope, you can write this down, it's a Greek word, elpizo. Sounds like an Italian word to me, elpizo. Everybody say elpizo. It's a Greek word, and what it means, hope is to expect good things in the what? In the future. Now, there was a Greek fable that everyone back would have known in Greece, certainly, of Zeus, the king of the gods. And Zeus gives a container to a man, and a container that he gives is full of good things. The man who receives the container, he's curious as to what's inside. So he opens the lid of this container, and all, according to the fable, all the good things escape from the container, and they go up into the heavens with the gods. And the man quickly, he closes the lid, and there's only one thing that remained in that container. Everything else left. And the only thing that remained inside was hope. And the fable illustrates what the Greeks believed of hope, that it was man's present comfort for the good things that are in the future. It's by faith that we as believers We're not tied to the Old Testament laws and the rules and the regulations, no. We have tied our faith to the hope that Jesus gives us. Our hope ties us to the future of all the things that God has in store for us who love him. Amen? So when you've weighed everything, you've looked at everything, and everything is settled, and you're trusting in that hope that lies ahead, and secondly, we're certain of what we do not see. We're certain of what we do not see. This question came into my mind. I was going to ask you, this is really silly, but how many of you have never seen your brain, but you believe you have one? Raise your hand. Yeah. We've all met someone who said, that guy doesn't have a brain. But if I were to ask you, how many of you really truly believe you have a brain, but you've never even seen your brain? That's true, Pastor, that's true. You've never seen gravity. But how many of you are certain that it exists? You're certain that it exists. Likewise, I want you to know that I have never, ever seen the Holy Spirit, but I believe in the Holy Spirit. I have never seen Jesus, but I believe in Jesus. I've never seen God, but I believe in God. I've never seen heaven, but I believe, I'm certain there's a place called heaven. I've never seen eternity, but I believe in eternity. I've never seen the streets paved with gold, but I believe, and I'm certain this very moment, that my earthly Father is dancing on those streets of gold that were laid by my heavenly Father. You say, well, how do you believe such things? Well, by faith. I'm just dead sure of what I hope for, and I'm certain of things that I do not see. That's faith. Now, faith is not thinking that we can manipulate God to do things that we want him to do. Faith is not demanding health, wealth, and prosperity from God. And faith is not seeking a life of ease and blessing. Faith is not a blind leap into the dark. No. True faith is being sure when I've weighed everything and being settled and convinced of the good things that are to come because I've put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And therefore, I give him everything, my life, my heart, my soul, my mind, I give him everything. And that's what allows me to be like one of those heroes that are listed back here in Hebrews chapter 11, to stand in the midst of difficult times, and I keep my faith solely placed on God above. Amen? Now, that leads us, secondly, to what does faith accomplish? Now, we've got dozens of stories in this chapter. We're only going to look at three because of time. Can you say amen? Here's the first hero that we look at. His name is Abel. And faith led Abel to worship God. Faith led Abel to do what? To worship God. So let's look at verse 4, Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he's dead. He's what? He's dead. Yeah. And he still speaks, even though he's dead. Well, in the words of Jeff Walling, everybody say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's still speaking. You say, explain that. Well, this story, even though we're reading it in Hebrews 11, it takes place all the way back in Genesis chapter 4. That's the fourth chapter in the Bible. The first three chapters of the book of Genesis is the story of creation. In chapter 4, in the fourth chapter of Genesis, we read this story of Cain and Abel. And Adam and Eve, the first man and woman that God created, had two sons. One was named Cain, one was named Abel. Now, Cain was a farmer, and Abel was a shepherd. Cain, the farmer, grew crops. Abel, the shepherd, raised sheep. And one day they both brought offerings to God. Cain brought an offering, Abel brought an offering. Cain brought some fruit, had been laying there. He just picked it off, gave it to the Lord. Abel brought a blood sacrifice. And the Lord in heaven looked at both offerings, and the Bible says that he looked with favor upon what Abel gave, the blood sacrifice. And Cain gets jealous of the fact that God loved Abel's gift, and the Bible says that Cain killed Abel. Now, both of those boys and their offerings still speak to us today, although they've been dead for thousands and thousands of years. And the reason why is because those two boys represent people all around the world. Cain brought a gift that was not acceptable. It was the fruit of his own labor. It symbolizes salvation by good works. Not really a sacrifice, certainly not faith. But Abel brought a blood sacrifice that represents the type of sacrifice that God accepted. And we know the Bible says, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Now, there's a lot in that, but the point is, it was faith that led Abel to worship God the way that God wanted to be worshiped. Abel's faith was the right kind of faith because it caused him to worship God. And if you're here today, if you're here today to worship God, I believe your faith is what brought you here to worship God. Your faith is what leads you to sing praises to God. It's your faith that leads you to reverence God, to honor God. It's your faith that leads you to glorify God and to honor God. It's your faith that leads you to kneel before God, your Father. That's how we worship God, is through our faith. Now, second, here's the second example. The second fellow that we see is a guy named Enoch. And faith, write this down, led Enoch not to worship with God, but to walk with God. The second example of someone living by faith is Enoch. And according to the Bible, Enoch never died. He was translated. You say, what does translated mean? Well, it means that he was walking here on earth in faith, and he was such a man of faith that God didn't transition him from this life into the next with a thing called death. He simply took Enoch straight to heaven while he was still living here on this earth. Oh, that's amazing. But look at verse 5. That's what it says. Let's read it. It says, by faith, Enoch. Everybody say Enoch. Enoch. Let me do this real quick. Knock, knock. Enoch. I knocked that off. No more jokes. Let's get back to the Bible. I made that joke up all by myself. Okay, now here's what it says. By faith, Enoch, he was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He just one day, he got up and no one could find him because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, like I said, why would God do that? And here it tells you, before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Can you imagine that? That here's a guy that so loved God that every day of his life on this earth, he lived it to please God. And the Bible says that every day he just lived to please God. And he's down here walking on Rinaldi Street. And this one day God said, you know, that guy, he pleases me, everything he does. I think I'm just gonna bring him on to heaven. I'm not gonna kill him in any way, not gonna die. I'm gonna transition him right up here to heaven. So he's walking down here on Rinaldi Street, and he takes this one step, and the very next step, he's walking on those streets paved with gold up in heaven. Now, how many of you would like to go to heaven like that? Abel exemplifies worshiping by faith, but Enoch exemplifies walking by faith. It's interesting. This is very interesting. Stay with me, and I hope you're sitting down. I hope you're thinking this through. Enoch lived during the time right before the flood. Right before the flood. Now, what was going on in the world at the time of the flood? The Bible says that when God destroyed the world, that the reason he destroyed the world with flood was because the heart of man was evil all the time. And yet it was during this evil time that Enoch kept his heart pure. You see, if you go back to Genesis chapter 5, now don't forget the story of Abel, Cain and Abel was in Genesis chapter 4. The flood comes in Genesis chapter 6. So if you go back and you look at the chapter right before the flood, you have the story of Enoch. And here's what it says. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Who's Methuselah? Well, Methuselah was the oldest living person that we know of all time. He lived to be 969 years. That's why if someone calls you Methuselah, they're telling you you're old. But Enoch was the father of Methuselah. Now look, pay attention to these words. When Enoch had lived 65 years of age, he became the father of Methuselah. Verse 22, after he became the father of Methuselah, the Bible says that Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years. You say, what did he do? Well, he had other children. Verse 23 says, altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Verse 24, Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. That phrase, to walk faithfully with God, means that he walked closely and he walked continually with God. He lived every day in the presence of the Lord, not for 1 year, not for a decade or two, but for 300 years. And the hallmark of his life is not the fact, and everybody thinks this is, I mean, it is a cool thing. He's walking down here on Rinaldi, and then one day, the next step, he's in heaven, and he never has to die. That's not the hallmark of his life. I mean, we're all going to transition. I mean, right now, this very moment, some of us are transitioning. This right now. There's people all over this room that have some disease or something going on in their life where they don't have much time to be here. And so, the fact that God transitioned him without death, I guess that's cool, but we're all going to be transitioned one way or another. The hallmark of his life is not that. The hallmark of his life is the fact that he walked with God for 300 years. That's the hallmark. Some of us can't walk with God for 30 days. He walked with God for 300 years. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, everybody say without faith, and notice what it says, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The question is, do you have that kind of faith? Even in this godless culture, are you this moment living a life that pleases God? Is God pleased with how you use your time? Is he pleased with what you read? Is he pleased with the music that you listen to? Is he pleased with the movies that you watch? Is he pleased with the words that you speak? Is he pleased with the friends that you hang out with? Is he pleased with the things that you have planned? Is he pleased with your involvement in the church? Is he pleased with your worship? Is he pleased with your giving? Is he pleased with your faithfulness? Is he pleased with your priorities? Is he pleased with your commitment to him? It's not a bearing on your salvation. The question is, now that you're saved, are you living a life in faith, knowing what's ahead, what he has in store for you? Are you living a life that is pleasing to him? And then we come to the third character, the third example, this guy named Noah. Faith enabled Abel to worship God. Enoch's faith enabled him to walk with God, but Noah's faith led him to work for God. I love this painting right here. There's a guy who came from our church. His name is William McDonald, and he's kind of a writer, author, and he's writing a book. It hasn't been published yet, but the name of the book is 40. It's not written out. It's just the numbers. 40 is the name of the book, and he sent it to me, and this was in the artwork of that book, and I asked him, is there any way I could show that to the church? It's such a beautiful picture. Amen. But everybody knows the story of Noah. He's the main character in the story of the flood. The Bible says back in Genesis 6 and verse 5 and 11 that the earth was corrupt and full of violence. And so God instructs Noah to build an ark. And these are very strange instructions because there's no lake nearby. It was a dry, thirsty land. It had never rained up to this point. There had never been a flood. It's 100 miles from the nearest ocean. It took over 100 years to build. Something everyone would have said, this is absurd. Not only did the task seem impossible, but why would we be building something this big in a land of no floods? This was insane. It was 440 feet long. It was 75 feet wide. It was 45 feet high. It's 1.5 times longer than a football field. It's 4 stories high. It has 3 decks. It has 1.3 million cubic feet. And to top all that off, it actually floated. All built by a man who had never built a boat before. The Bible says in verse 7, look at it, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Every day for over 100 years, Noah's faith caused him to walk in obedience to God because he was convinced of things that he had never seen. Noah built that ark because he believed God and he believed in God's instructions. And every tree that he cut down was a picture of his faith. And every board that he sawed was a picture of his faith. And every seam that he applied pitch to was a picture of his faith. And every day that he endured the mocking and the jeering of those around him, it was a picture of his faith. And every single moment for over 125 years, every single day he got up and he walked in obedience. The Bible says in James 2:26 that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is worthless. If you say you have faith, it will be evidenced by your actions. Noah listened to God. He heeded God's warnings. He lived out his faith in obedience, and he received God's righteousness all because of his faith. So as we close this message and wrap this up, I want you to look at those three points one more time. Faith caused Abel to worship. Faith led Enoch to walk with God. And faith led Noah to work for God. And I simply ask you this question: does your faith lead you to worship God? Does your faith lead you to walk with God? Does your faith lead you to work for God. It should, and this chapter tells us that faith is not a magical potion that fixes every mess and fixes your situation. No. Faith is a spiritual roadmap that will lead you to your eternal destiny. Faith doesn't shield you from the world. Faith doesn't shield you from suffering in this world. What faith does is that in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your setbacks, in the midst of your difficult times, it keeps you worshiping God. It keeps you walking with God. It keeps you working with God. Until one day, you will receive your eternal reward. We've all been through times, some of you are going through them right now, where your prayers seem unanswered. And your struggles are not being answered by divine intervention. And maybe you're here today and you feel neglected by God or abandoned by God. And I say to you, just keep putting your faith in God. How many people do you know, they went through a difficult stretch, and they didn't feel like God intervened, and so they just gave up on God? That's not faith. Faith is when you're in the midst of the storm. Go back and read all these stories in Hebrews chapter 11. Every one of them went through some type of trial, yet they kept their eyes on God. They kept walking in faith, worshiping in faith, working in faith, until eventually they received their just reward. God being pleased with you is not based on your fame. It's not based on your fortune. It's not based on your fate. It's not based on your friends. God being pleased with you is solely based on your faith. And you walk that way, one day your name will be listed in God's hall of fame. I heard this story about a father and a son. They were in a house and the house caught fire. The father got out of the house. The son, somehow he was up on the roof and he came over to the edge. And the father was underneath the ledge looking up at his son. And he said, "Son, jump. I'll catch you." And the boy didn't want to jump. And the father said, "Son, I'm right here. Just jump. I'll catch you." And the boy protested. He said, "Dad, I can't see you." And the father said, "Son, I can see you. Just jump." And in that same way, there are people all over this room where you're going to go through a difficult time in your life. And God's going to tell you to trust in him. And you're going to say, "But I don't see God. I don't sense God working." Listen, God still sees you. You need to trust in him. Trust in his word. Trust in his ways. Let's stand and bow our heads for a word of prayer. God, thank you for today. And thank you for this series. And thank you for this chapter. Lord, I've read this chapter 1,000 times. I never ever tied it in before to what you were telling that Jewish audience, that these people are great not because they trusted in the Old Testament laws and rules. They're our heroes because in the midst of difficulty, they kept walking in faith. And that's what made him great. And so, Lord, I pray this message is for someone here today. They're going through a family situation in their marriage, maybe a situation with their children. Maybe they're going through some financial difficulty. Maybe there's a lot of us that have family members going through some health situations. And it's so easy for us to think, "Well, did I... Is God even listening? Does God even care?" Oh, he cares. And I just pray, God, that no matter what the storm, no matter what the issue, no matter what the trial, that we will keep our faith and our eyes fixed on you. And we're sure of the hope, those things out there in the future, God, that you have in store for us. And we are certain of things, even though we can't see them. We know that your word is true, that you are true, and that our future is assured because of what Jesus Christ did for us on that cross. Father, bless this church, bless every man, bless every woman, every girl and boy. And if anybody here needs to talk to a counselor or make a decision, they can come to these doors over here by the baptistry. But thank you for loving us, and thank you for bringing us here, and thank you for this book, and bring us back safely next week. Bring us back tonight for that tree lighting, and just to be a blessing to this community, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you for coming to church today.